Hello and welcome to Teach Strong, the teaching and learning podcast for the Armstrong campus. I'm Nancy Rimmler, the director for the Center of Teaching and Learning. And today we're talking about a valuable information resource specific to Armstrong's Lane Library, the Florence Minus Room. And here with me today are two of our librarians, Caroline Hopkinson.
Hello.
And Christy Smith.
Hi, everybody.
They're going to explain not only the purpose of the Minus Room and how they're involved with its holdings, but also a recent project. They've begun to collect Armstrong artifacts and archive them to preserve Armstrong's recent history post-consolidation. So welcome, ladies.
Thank you, Nancy. Thanks. We're happy to be here.
Yes. I was wondering if you could just take a few minutes to explain how the Minus Room came to be, a little bit of its history.
Sure. The Minus Room opened in 1978 based on a gift, a monetary gift. We have an endowment from the Minus family, Robert Minus and his sons, to honor their his wife and their mother, Florence Powell Minus. So it opened then, and its mission is to collect books about Savannah, this area, the coastal empire, and also collect Savannah authors. So that's what we've been doing since the early 80s. And then in 2000, we added to the special collections a university archives as preparation for the history of the university that Janet Stone wrote. It was published in 2008.
That history of the university is titled From the
Mansion to the University,
okay.
A History of Armstrong.
And the mansion being the Armstrong Mansion downtown.
Right.
Okay. So I hadn't realized there was a connection between this room and that book. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. We kind of added, we started with this book collection and we added the university records. It's because Janet needed that to write the book, and she needed a place. And so that sort of expanded our special collections in 2000.
Mm-hmm. And so all of those records are now here in the Minus Room?
Yes. And we have the sort of reading room where the books are stored, and then we also have a storage room connected to it.
That's great.
So yeah.
Okay. Well, cool. So how do faculty access these resources?
Right. It's the physical access to the Minus Room and the archives is by appointment. So, for example, a faculty member emailed me yesterday and said, oh, I need to come in and do some research the next couple of days. And so she's coming at 10 this morning.
Oh, okay.
And students also, the physical access is by appointment. A lot of times with students who need books in the Minus Room, it can be the same day. And the reference librarians can help students get those books. And it's nice, this special collection on Savannah history, it's nice to come in and browse. So both students and faculty might just want to arrange a time to come in and browse what's in this collection. Mm-hmm. Because from, you know, art and architecture to history and literature, it's all in one room. Mm-hmm. So that's a nice thing.
So we do have a good number of students accessing these materials.
Yeah, especially students who are doing local history. Mm-hmm. And that can be anything from, you know, students in 1101 who have a local angle on a topic they're researching, to history students and graduate students in history who are doing more in-depth research about Savannah in this area.
So what are some of the more interesting artifacts in this part of the library?
We have a first edition. Some of our rarer books are first editions by Conrad Aiken and Flannery O'Connor.
Look at that.
So that's and some of the and local books. We have Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil. That's since the collection has started, we purchased that and have signed copies. So it's kind of
signed by Lady Chablis and
it is
the author John Barron.
So some of the books are local history books that are not particularly rare or, you know, expensive in themselves, but it's important to preserve because they're part of our local history. Mm-hmm. Here's one that is not like an expensive book in itself, but the inscription by the author points out that this is The Lonely Hunter, a biography of Carson McCullers by Virginia Spencer Carr.
Uh-huh.
And in her inscription, she acknowledges that when she was teaching here is when she first heard about Carson McCullers, and she went on to write an important biography. So there's these books that are sort of special just because of their Armstrong connection.
This inscription reads, "For Armstrong State College Library, the students and faculty and staff of Armstrong helped make this book possible, for it was my teaching here when I just discovered Carson McCullers."
It was actually a student who said, who mm-hmm. asked a question about Carson McCullers, and that was her start.
That was all it took.
Yeah.
And Carson McCullers led such a fascinating life that I can see how that would start a snowball effect of interest in her.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Well, Christy, once consolidation became an actuality, the Lane Library faculty put out a call for Armstrong photos and other artifacts. What was your mission for this project?
Mostly to preserve Armstrong's history, and obviously, especially now during our consolidation with Georgia Southern University.
Mm-hmm.
So we wanted to collect any sort of records that documented Armstrong's history, whether it be photographs or books or actual documents.
Mm-hmm.
So that is what...
We, for example, we collected the faculty minutes right up to date.
Oh.
And that's something that we thought, well, we'd have more time, you know, to mm-hmm. collect those. But we did a focused collection of the things that we needed to fill in gaps.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So faculty minutes of the faculty meetings is what
right.
you're talking about. But what other kinds of artifacts have you collected?
We've collected Armstrong course schedules dating back to, I believe, 89 or
right.
early 90s.
A little treasure trove of a faculty member who had carefully collected all those course schedules.
Every
Christy made
quarter.
The connection.
Wow.
And then it turned into every semester.
Mm-hmm.
And what it documents is what courses are actually offered. We have
mm-hmm.
the catalog and mm-hmm. we carefully, you know, collect that. We haven't always collected course schedules because that's
right.
quite a bit of work to collect that as we go along. But
mm-hmm.
this treasure trove we found. And that really would tell a researcher what courses were actually offered
mm-hmm.
and when and who offered them.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be, was a nice little find.
It started out more as a newsletter, you know, late 80s, early 90s, and then it evolved into a book as we
mm-hmm.
offered more courses.
Mm-hmm.
We received a lot of materials from the athletics department. So we have historical newspaper clippings where it's from the, I believe, the 60s, 1960s,
mm-hmm.
Through the 1990s, people really took their time in that department to scour newspapers and compile scrapbooks. They donated all of that to us.
Great.
Yeah, items from the president's office, President Blyken, before she left, donated many items. Lots of old student activities calendars.
Mm-hmm.
We got in touch with
Al Harris,
previous dean of student affairs, I believe.
Or student activities.
Student activities.
Mm-hmm.
He came out of retirement to
right.
donate.
He went up in his attic, or he's got some more in his attic. He's
mm-hmm.
going to get up there.
Oh, that's great.
And lots of fun photos from mm-hmm. previous year's faculty field trips.
The field trips.
Are the fun things to look
right.
at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yes, lots of really interesting artifacts.
Well, what do you still need?
We still need to fill in the gaps. We have, for example, Armstrong Publications that we have some missing issues. So the Armstrong, when we were Armstrong Atlantic State University, it was Compass Magazine, and then it evolved into the Armstrong Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
However, we do have some gaps to fill in the Compass Magazine. We need more stuff from student organizations. So any campus student groups that might dissolve because of the consolidation, because there's only one group allowed for the university. So for example, I believe it's the American Chemical Society.
Mm-hmm.
We've been in contact with them. So any founding documents for student organizations, photos, anybody feels is of value to Armstrong's history.
We're certainly willing to consider it. So
yes,
sometimes
okay.
it's nice. I mean, this is the time to send out the call, as Christy did. Obviously, people responded.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some things we target that
mm-hmm.
we kind of already know about. But if a faculty member, is a part of what the University Archives does is preserve the things created by Armstrong. And a lot
mm-hmm.
of times that's faculty members and students.
Mm-hmm.
And so you know, if faculty members know a student who took tons of photographs when they were here and they are maybe looking for a place to put those, that would be great. If faculty members themselves are doing scholarship or community service projects, a lot of times those are the things that are that become the more interesting and useful parts of the archives and the special collections.
Okay. Well, how long you are collecting things as we speak?
Yes.
I expect that will continue for some time now. So tell me about the job of cataloging all of these items.
So that takes time because since we're the only institution that has these items, I cannot go out and find Library of Congress records on these. So while that it would be nice to have help for those types of things, it's really a one-person job to create original cataloging records. And what that is essentially is what the user sees in our on our library website when you're searching for a book. So that is my job. I have to put in all the metadata, all of the information. So I haven't started cataloging the artifacts that are rolling in because they're still rolling in. I'll put out another campus-wide APB once fall semester starts to get all the professors that have just come back to campus for more materials.
And this is another way that students and faculty have access to these materials. I mean, there's physical access of coming in and browsing, but Christy's put all of the books in the minus room is are in the catalog.
Okay.
And, that's what she when she's cataloging that, that means that when you search our local catalog, they'll be able to find the things in the special collections, both the minus room and the archives. And so so that's one place they can go to sort of see what's here is online. And we also have digitized some of the major publications of Armstrong. The Geechies, for example, are all digitized, available for you. So that's another kind of access.
And
Christie's department provides the description so that, that there's good access to that material online.
For those listeners relatively new to Armstrong, the Geechee was the yearbook that was published for many years and was suspended in the early 2000s. Is that right?
It was. It was published from 37 through 1995.
Okay.
And along with many other college yearbooks, it just became expensive to publish the physical. And that's why in some ways the things like the faculty field trips that are donated, those photographs that are donated, sort of make up for not having a yearbook, which was a kind of key way to find photographs by year. So that's, and the inkwell has been published continuously since September 1935, and we've started digitizing that too.
Well, I was going to ask you if there's any chance these artifacts will be digitized, so some of them already are. And is that going to be an ongoing project?
We would like to continue that, yes. So, and actually the cool thing about our consolidation with Georgia Southern is their library, the Zach Henderson Library, uses, it's called the Digital Commons, and that serves as Georgia Southern's institutional repository where they digitize all of Georgia Southern's documents, any historical or professors' publications, for example. So my department is training on using the Digital Commons to put Armstrong artifacts, essentially, into it. It will be digitized. Students will have access, faculty, staff, to discover these documents, and then hopefully, you know, the photographs and the student activities calendars. So initially, the focus will be on materials that are born digital, which means they're just born as a website. It's kind of easier that way. You don't have to have all the manpower to scan and upload and assign metadata to, which you still have to do with things born digital. And metadata is just a fancy word for keyword, really, so that people can find what they need. You have to assign the keywords to it. So yes, that is our hope, to get everything digitized, and we do have a priority list for born digital items that need to get digitized, that need to be put, not digitized, they're already digitized, but put into the Digital Commons, as well as print materials. We have a priority list for those items, which need to be digitized and uploaded.
Okay, great. Caroline, how long have you been at Armstrong?
Since 1989.
Okay.
I don't know what the math is.
28 years.
28 years. Oh my gosh, it sneaks up on you.
So you have some really great Armstrong stories, and I recently heard you conversing with Judge Ron Ginsburg mm-hmm. about some historical documents that you found from the time that he was an Armstrong student. Could you share that story with our audience?
I've got a million of them. For Ron Ginsburg was a student here at Armstrong in the 1960s, and actually he donated and he had kept the newspaper that was the special issue of the Inkwell about a project that he spearheaded to bring the governor of Georgia to the Armstrong campus for the students to thank him for his effort in bringing Armstrong into a four-year university. Mm-hmm. I mean, I could just imagine what our administrators would be so happy if students would bring the governor to campus now. And so you can imagine, and of course, so that was a big event in Armstrong's history. We didn't have that much documentation of it. We didn't actually have that issue of the Inkwell. There's always missing issues, and that's why it's, you need somebody to be vigilant and fill in those missing issues. But Ron Ginsburg actually donated that two copies of the issue that he had just kept all these years because it was, of course, a big event. Mm-hmm. And it was just a thrill to get a missing issue of the Inkwell because that's
a
but
big
mostly
deal.
Mostly it has come from alums, to fill in those missing issues. Mm-hmm. But that really was through a faculty member that he knew, Janet Stone. Mm-hmm. I was really just thanking him for thinking of us and reminding him how important that was for our collection. Mm-hmm.
We're blessed to have so many local alums who still have Armstrong in their hearts mm-hmm. and are still invested in keeping the history of Armstrong alive. And so, most of us who are still here after a long time still don't have the history prior to our arrival.
Right.
So thank goodness for those alums and how active they are with the university. But I bet you have many other good Armstrong stories. Is there one of your favorites?
It's kind of every week. Mm-hmm. Recently, we had a visit, as part of the alumni gatherings, an alum came back who is Orson Beecher's daughter. And Orson Beecher was a faculty member from World War II era through the early 80s. Mm-hmm. He was a history professor and administrator. And she came to attend the alumni event, but then she also wanted to see what we had about her father. Mm-hmm. And we had some files and his letters and an interview with him mm-hmm. that she hadn't seen, and she just hadn't really seen a lot of his business correspondence and things mm-hmm. like that. So it was really important for her, and it helped connect to her father. It was kind of heartwarming, and it was fun to talk to her. Mm-hmm. Again, like you say, I never met Dr. Beecher, mm-hmm. and he has a great character, mm-hmm. and so it really filled in for me some of his story. Mm-hmm. And then I had a museum studies student from Georgia Southern mm-hmm. use our archives. They are adding a display about Armstrong's history to their display of Georgia Southern's history.
Oh, how nice.
Which will be in the Continuing Education Center mm-hmm. up there.
And, oh, great.
And so so that was his student project, and he's working on it this summer. Mm-hmm. And so he came to find materials. Mm-hmm. And so really, there's students and faculty, alums, mm-hmm. there's a lot. And some also researchers who come from outside. Mm-hmm. Our university archives is not doesn't have a lot of rare material, but it's very much documents the history of a university during this time period of desegregation, mm-hmm. and so that's mostly what we've gotten outside researchers is some of our little manuscript collections, mm-hmm. Some student projects that they come and use, mm-hmm. and then also that period of desegregation that our archives documents that pretty well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, Christy, how do you? You're relatively new here at Armstrong. You've been here a year, right?
Correct, a year, August 1st.
Okay, so I kind of see you as looking toward the future of Armstrong's campus. So, how do you see Armstrong's story unfolding from here?
Well, I hope to, mesh well with Georgia Southern for all of us, students and everybody. And just to continue to document Armstrong's history, if people retire and clean out their offices, we are a great repository for any documents mm-hmm. that they may have. But also going forward, continuing to gather materials that it's funny to call a present day material an archival material. Mm-hmm. But 10, 20 years from now, if a researcher or a current student needs to access anything in our archives, we would have it. So just really working closely with Georgia Southern's archives and special collections. Am I missing anything, Caroline?
I think that's it, this awareness that, and actually in a digital environment, and especially in an environment where there's so much information produced, everybody is mm-hmm. a publisher in a way. Mm-hmm. It's important to have that awareness mm-hmm. and the tools mm-hmm. in order to capture that information mm-hmm. and also make it available through this description. Mm-hmm. The metadata is really important, and somebody who goes back and makes sure that all the gaps are filled in, mm-hmm. it's well described and it's understood. Mm-hmm. And there's also, you know, these technology tools like the Digital Commons that will make that mm-hmm. less overwhelming yeah. than it seems to me right now, uh-huh. but we'll have to, you know, I think one thing that will benefit us is that we'll have more access to some of those tools that really only a big institution mm-hmm. can afford.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that we, while it's important to embrace and preserve the history of Armstrong as an individual campus, we're actually making history also mm-hmm. as we face consolidation. We are, you know, there are different ways to look at that. We could perceive our history as disappearing, but we could also say this is just the next step mm-hmm. to becoming, right. You know, part of a larger picture. And so it's encouraging to know that there are students on the Statesboro campus who are already investigating the history of this campus mm-hmm. and how it becomes part of the larger Georgia Southern history. So I hope that sense of collaboration continues. And
me too.
And I hope that the faculty and students on the Statesboro campus will come down to Savannah and visit the Minus Room and see all the wonderful resources we have here.
And just learn from our experience.
And learn
it is a
from
wonderful
experience.
Really.
Yes, wow. Yes. So one thing before we finish up, there are also exhibits that you create from the resources in this room, correct? Can you talk a little bit more about those exhibits?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm going to let Caroline address that.
and there are some ongoing online exhibits. Mm-hmm. And again, with some of the technology that we can jump onto when we get into Georgia Southern, there's software like that will create permanent sort of online exhibits that mm-hmm. are a nice way to share that information. But yes, physical exhibits in our case downstairs mm-hmm. At Georgia Southern in this mm-hmm. display case. We don't have a permanent sort of museum mm-hmm. kind of display, but they rotate around. Right now in the library display case, it's actually a display done by Armstrong archaeology students, and so they're displaying some of mm-hmm. their artifacts. Mm-hmm. But it's also been used to display the myriad of different collections that come up. We recently acquired Dean Probst's papers, and we did mm-hmm. a display on his life here. Mm-hmm. He started at Armstrong and went on to become chancellor of the University System of Georgia.
Yeah.
So that was a fun display to connect to Start Strong.
And that display, I'll add, is still online. And if anyone is interested, mm-hmm. you can go through Armstrong's website and click on course guides.
Or you can also click on special collections.
Okay. Okay.
Those are linked from the special collections page.
I happened upon that page mm-hmm. recently and kind of browsed around it, and it was really interesting. And I kind of have an affinity for the history of Dean Probst because I used to have his office in Gamble Hall, and then while I was in his office, that was the year I won the Probst Award.
Oh, cool.
So, and he actually, he signed my diploma when I graduated from college. So I feel like there's this little connection there.
That's
I was
a good
glad
story.
To see. Yeah, that's a good story. So Those are the kinds of interesting exhibits that you can see online or here in the library. And as mm-hmm. I sit here in the Minus Room, it strikes me as a mini museum. Mm-hmm. There is a photograph on the wall of Florence Minus, and I'm looking at a larger photograph on display of the student body of Armstrong in front of the Armstrong Mansion, it looks like.
That's right.
That looks to be from the 40s.
It's 35, 36. Okay. That's the whole group.
That's all of the students.
2-year college. Mm-hmm. That's the first, mm-hmm. The golden grads.
Yeah. So lots of really interesting things to see and read here. So I would encourage everyone, if you weren't aware of the Minus Room, please come learn more about it and contact the librarians right. and make an appointment.
Contact us. We're happy to show it anytime.
Absolutely.
And especially faculty, when you're on campus, when you're in the library, you wonder about what's behind that door, stop by, we'll show you.
Well, thank you for being with us here today. I really enjoyed talking to you and learning a little bit more about the Florence Minus Room. For those of you who are listening today, I hope you will join us for other episodes of the Teach Strong podcast. We plan to not only cover topics that have to do with the Armstrong campus and the resources that it provides, but also we're going to talk about different important teaching and learning concepts that can help us become more innovative and more effective teachers. So I hope that you will tune into other episodes. And until then, so long.